ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 10 द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र। टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। यः सत्यपाश परिवीत पीतुः निदेशं स्त्रैण्यस्य च अपि शिरसा जग्रे सा भार्यः राज्यं प्रियं प्रणयिनः सुहृदः निवासं त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनम् असून् इव मुक्तसङ्गः। यः सत्यपाश परिवीत पितुर्निदेशम् त्रैण्यस्य चापि शिरसा जग्रे स भार्यः राज्यं श्रियं प्रणयिनः सुहृदो निवासम् त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनमसूनिव मुक्तसङ्गः। यः सत्यपाश परिवीत पितुर्निदेशम् त्रैण्यस्य चापि शिरसा जग्रे स भार्यः राज्यं श्रियं प्रणयिनः सुहृदो निवासम् त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनमसूनिव मुक्तसङ्गः। यः सत्यपाश परिवीत पितुर्निदेशम् त्रैण्यस्य चापि शिरसा जग्रे स भार्यः राज्यं श्रियं प्रणयिनः सुहृदो निवासम् त्यक्त्वा ययौ वनमसूनिव मुक्तसङ्गः। बोलिए। Yaha. Lord Ramchandra, who? Satyapasha Parivita Pituhu. Of his father, who was born by the promise to his wife. Nidesham, the order. Trainyasya, of the father who was very much attached to his wife. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Shirasa, on his head. Jagre, accepted. Sabharyaha, with his wife. Rajyam, the kingdom. Shriyam, opulence. Pranayinaha, relatives. Suhrudaha, friends. Nivasam, residence. Tyaktva, giving up. Yayo, went. Vanam, to the forest. Asun, life. Iva, like. Muktasangaha, a liberated soul. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Carrying out the order of his father, who was born by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence and everything else. Just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Purport. Maharaj Dashrath had three wives, one of them Kaikeyi, served him very pleasingly and he therefore wanted to give her a benediction. Kaikeyi, however, said that she would ask for the benediction when it was necessary. At the time of the coronation of Prince Ramchandra, Kaikeyi requested her husband to enthrone her son Bharata and send Ramchandra to the forest. Maharaj Dashrada, being bound by his promise, ordered Ramchandra to go to the forest according to the dictation of his beloved. And the Lord, as an obedient son, accepted the order immediately. He left everything without hesitation, just as a liberated soul or great yogi gives up his life without material attraction. Om Ajnana Timrindasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this coming Sunday we are celebrating Sri Ram Navami. So I think Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Brihat Bhagavat Maharaj will be giving Ram Katha in the morning. And right? Evenings His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj, he is going to give. So I thought, so today I'll speak something about Lord Ramchandra. So Maharaj must be explaining Lord Ram's birth and going to forest and all. I will explain from Aranyakanda. Right? Radha Govinda Maharaj always says that whenever you travel, you should not take your wife along with you. You should always travel alone. So Lord Ramchandra's life showed, if you travel with your wife, what will happen? Right? So much trouble he had to face. Then, of course, now things have changed. You can't say all those things. When Yashomati Nandan Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, please translate Ramayana also. So Srila Prabhupada replied, what is there in Ramayana? Only thing you can learn is, even if God comes to the earth and gets married, he will have a lot of trouble. So, we see how Lord Ramchandra entered the forest, then traveling. For 1 year, they stayed in Chitrakoot. So when Maharaj Bharat came and along all with his entourage and all, so the whole thing got disturbed. Then they said, it's not a good idea for you to stay here, because now all the Ayodhyavasis, they know where you are staying. So they will keep bothering you. Even Maharaj Bharat also keeps bothering, come to see you and all. He will neglect the ruling. So that is why the Bharadwaj Muni and all, they advise, go from here, like that. So then Lord Ramchandra entered Dandakaranya forest. It's a very ferocious forest. It is explained that once this lady, she is actually running around, huffing and puffing, and then she entered the forest, and then she knew all the time where her father always meditating, and then she would always go to him for solace and peace of the mind. Right now, her aim is not peace of mind, because her mind was very, very disturbed, and she was actually wanting revenge, the strong desire for revenge. Then she went, and then she fell down with a great thud, and then all her huffing and puffing awoken Shukracharya, who was deeply meditating. So when he opened his eyes, he saw his daughter, another daughter, Araja, in a very terrible condition. He saw her, that she was crying, sobbing inconsolably, and then her hair dishevelled, her clothes tattered, and and then she was unable to speak, and then immediately Shukracharya embraced his daughter Araja. Then he could understand, seeing the condition, what had happened to her. And then he asked her, who is that? Who is that rascal who dared to touch the fire? Right? So there, this King Danda, he was basically a hunter. He was actually sitting there, and he went to hunt. But his main, he was always wanted to control not only his subjects, but animals also, and also animal-like human beings. So he was sitting there and contemplating, being the son of Maharaj Ikshvaku, he was actually thinking how his father very unjustifiably, he banished him to the from his kingdom because of his unruly behavior, and then very cruel behavior towards the subjects of Ayodhya. So he he actually told him, then he was very, very angry because all the people in Ayodhya, they have complained to Maharaj Ikshvaku that how his son Danda was troubling them a lot. So he was very angry that ordinary people, common citizens, had the guts to complain against him. So ever since, he had developed a very great anger towards common people. So he was always trying to torture them and control them and all that. So meanwhile, so he was thinking, in one way, he was thinking that everything happens for good. It is good that his father banished him. Otherwise, if I had stayed back in Ayodhya, I had to share the kingdom with the two of my brothers, Maharaj Nimi and Vichakshu. So now he is the ruler of Mandmata, the near Vindhya mountains, and unrivaled king. Only thing that he had to make an alliance with Rakshasas, so that he didn't bother. So now he is the king of Vindhya mountains, so ruling. And he is saying that this place is much better, more beautiful than Ayodhya. So he, but not only that, he got the guidance, protection and knowledge of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya, being a very intelligent person, he controlled these short-tempered Rakshasas and guided them. And he, with his mystic powers, he controlled, many times he saved them from, troubles, being given by demigods. And then sometimes he converted calamities into victory. Like that. So one comment is that Shukracharya, instead of inspiring people, he impressed them. When we become inspired by our leader, we become independent. We can become independent, think independently. That's what Prabhupada wanted. I want independently thinking brahmanas. So, but then we become independent, and we can train others also to become independent and a strong-willed persons. But when we become impressed with people, we make the others also dependent on us, and then individually weak, like that. So, while sitting on the bank of a river, suddenly a wave of fragrance hit his nostrils. Then he's wondering what happened. What is this fragrance coming from? So when he looked from the river, a beautiful girl, collecting water with her beautiful catching the pot, with her nimble, beautiful fingers. So he felt that each movement of this beautiful girl felt as if it is a music to his ears. And then he said, "Oh, this is bewitching, wondrous beauty. I should get her." Then he was actually, that girl lifted the water and then put that pot around her hips, and then she is walking with a beautiful gait, and then his eyes also followed her, thinking that I should get her. That was how demons think, like that. I should get her. Then immediately he started, then the eyes carried him, the person also. Then he started following her. Then she entered the beautiful hermitage. As soon as he reached that hermitage, he understood whose hermitage it was. It was Shukracharya, his guru. But his eyes, they are blinded by lust and then the intense desire to enjoy the beauty of this lady. He just did not bother. That is why it is said that gratitude enables us to see our past, and lust blinds us disables us to see our future. So he did not think about the future, what is going to happen. So he went inside the hut, and then immediately she understood that he is the king, so it is her responsibility to invite him inside the hermitage. But here, every woman knows what is in the eyes of a man. So she understood that this man is lusty. And then what? She was speaking something, but he felt that every word that is emanating from her mouth felt as if some musical ragas emanating from Veena. And then he's not hearing anything. He was only lusting after her. So seeing the lust in his eyes, looking at him, coming forward to attack her, she ran towards the door, and she was trying to unbolt the door, and immediately caught hold of her. And then she's being abla, she was crying and trying to escape from his embrace, but he was too powerful for him. Then to her shock, he ravaged her. Then Shukracharya called him and said, "You rascal, even animals are more grateful than you. Right? So you behave like an animal. So when the power is given to the hands of a king, you know, he protects the innocent citizens. But when the power goes to the head of the king, he tortures them. The difference between a human being and an animal is self-restraint. When these laws of human beings are not followed, a kingdom becomes a jungle. A kingdom becomes a jungle. And then all the human beings, they become like animals. So now I am cursing you that as soon as I leave this place, you know, I leave this place, there will be a rain of fire and it will ravage the city. And it will actually, this beautiful city will become infested with all kinds of animals, ferocious animals. And then this forest will be known as a very ferocious forest. Right? So, saying that, as soon as Shukracharya left that place, immediately the fireballs started raining. And then it caught fire. And all the people, they did not know what has hit them. You know, what has hit them. And immediately, the whole city started burning. And all those people who could save themselves, they went to Janasthan and settled there. Right? But by the time everything got burnt. Maharaj Dandas, the whole city was burnt. And then he was also burnt. So, that is why that place became Dandakaranya. That became known as Dandakaranya. So this is every day Ramchandra, Lakshman and Sita, they would hear kathas. You know, when Ramchandra heard that he was to be banished to the forest, one thing that struck him is that, oh, I will go to the forest, I will associate with all the sadhus there. I will hear many pastimes of the Lord. Like that was his thinking. So he was not very greatly disturbed. So he was utilizing this. So one sage was describing this pastime of how Dandakaranya became beautiful city of Madhumanta became a Dandakaranya and then became infested with ferocious animals. Animals. So that is why Lord Ramchandra was very happy to hear this pastime. Then that sage asked, "My dear Lord, would you like to hear more? There is more to this Dandakaranya forest. Would you like to hear more?" Ramchandra smiled and said that your katha that is emanating from your lotus mouth is nectar. Is like nectar to all of our ears. You know, please continue. Right? So that is why it is said that historic travels create roadmaps. You know, historic speeches create mindsets. Historic habits create culture. And historic blunders create wisdom. So from this we can learn how this blunder of Maharaj Danda created this Dandakaranya forest and all that. And one more pastime he explained that once there was a great drought in the forest in that area, Dandakaranya area. So all the sages who are doing meditation there, they were very disturbed. And when they went to Maharshi Gautam's ashram, because Maharshi Gautam is a very great tapasvi, only in his place, there was no drought. Water was there. Yamuna Mataji was explaining, there is one prince, Alwar, he was very, very devoted to Lord Krishna. And then he had a lot of respect for Yamuna Mataji, and he invited them and all. And then right from the morning to evening, he would do bhajan and worship the deities on himself. And then he would take care of his praja very nicely, like his own children. Yamuna Mataji was explaining, whenever there is a problem, it would always rain only in his kingdom. In other parts, it won't rain, because Rajasthan is full of dry area. But in his place, it would always rain and there is no water shortage. Like that. So, Gautam Rishi was like that. So, Gautam Rishi said, don't worry, I will take care of you. You stay here. So, he was taking care of them very nicely. By his tapashakti, he was producing water and all that. So, after some time, the famine is gone. And then all the sages, they came to Gautam Rishi. And he told that, we want to go now. We want to go now. But Gautam Rishi, by now, he became very attached to their Sangha. He won't let them go. He won't let them go. And then some sages out of them, some who are crooked little bit, they became very restless. And whenever they would approach Gautam Rishi, they would meet with a stony silence. Then what to do? Then what? They played a trick. They brought one very old cow, which is about to on her last legs. Then they released that cow in his fruit garden. So when the cow started eating the fruits, Gautam Rishi was a little bit disturbed, and then he came running and pushed her. Said, please go now, please go now. Just by his simple push, the cow fell down and died. And some sages, you know, they were hiding in the bush. No, abhi tum gohatya paap lage, gohatya paap. It's gohatya, you know, you killed a cow, you killed a cow. So they started shouting. And then Gautam Rishi was very disturbed, you know. And that's how he brought Godavari, you know, Godavari here. Otherwise, you know, Godavari, if you go to Chitrakoot, you go there, very beautiful place is there. Under the caves, the Godavari is there. From there, actually, it flows to Nasik, actually. Yeah, underground, like that. So, he brought Godavari to Nasik, Trambakeshwaram. So, then, later on, he was sitting and meditating. How could I do this mistake of killing a cow? You know? Then he sat and just meditated, and then saw, in his meditation, he saw all their, you know, intrigue that these guys have cheated me. Then he was very angry. He took the water from his kamandalu and cursed them. That, you know, now that you are so eager to go to that forest will become infested with so many demons who will trouble you like anything. You have to live with them along with them, like that. Then all the sages, they fell at his lotus feet, said, please forgive me, please forgive me. And then they said, I'll control the curse, saying that you all these demons and all will be in this forest, this place will be infested with these demons and all till Lord Ramchandra comes. Lord Ramchandra comes. So then they were very happy. Then Ramchandra became very stiff. You know, he doesn't like to hear his praise, but Lakshmana became swelled with pride. And now, you know, so there is a reason other than fulfilling the desire of Kaikeyi. There is reason for Lord Ramchandra to enter the forest, like that. So then they continued. So once Sitaji, with a great desire to make a beautiful garland for Lord Ramchandra, because previous evening she saw very beautiful fragrant flowers, you know, blooming in the nearby forest. And immediately she took with her slender hands, she took a very beautiful cane basket, you know, and then very happily chanting the glories of Ram, she was walking and, you know, she's shaking this cane basket. And then with her beautiful fingers, she started plucking all very nice, fragrant, flowers of various colors, then Lakshmanji was watching over, and usually than before, there was a very great silence early in the morning. And then suddenly Lakshmana's eyes became widened, and then he shouted, "Watch out!" And then before she could react, she felt some very strong hands, you know, clasping her slender waist. And then she was wondering what happened. And then when she saw, there is a huge monstrous demon. And then she started flailing, "Save me, save me, save me." And then he tightened the grip around her slender waist, and then he lifted her. And then she was very disturbed being airlifted. And then Lakshman said, "Who is this guy?" And this demon, he was actually 3 times, more taller than the palm tree. Palm tree is the tallest tree usually. So 3 times more taller than, and he was looking very grotesque and ferocious. And then he was carrying a spear in his hand, which is so long that there are one elephant head, is there in the spear, and then 3 heads of tiger, 4 heads of lions, 10 heads of deer, and then it was the blood was coming down. That means just now he hunted them, and then he was wearing a his dress is also like that. He was wearing a so many nice garlands. One garland was actually emanating so much effulgence. Because that garland is made with jewels, plucked out from the heads of hoods of ferocious serpents, And then another garland he made of head of a lion, head of a tiger, head of a jackal, head of and then stringed with a snake, python. Then he was very ferocious. Then Lakshmana called, "Rama, Rama, Rama." And then Sitaji was crying, "Rama, Rama, please save me, Lakshman, please save me." She was up in the air. Then Rama saw the condition of Sita. He almost fainted. He fainted. And then Lakshman put water on his face, and then made him regain his consciousness. Then he felt so much great pain that Sita, my loving wife, he is undergoing so much pain like that. But this fellow, he did not bother. Then immediately Ram and Lakshman, they were thinking what to do. Then immediately they came with his astra and their astra and shastra. And then they wanted to attack. So they were calculating the strength of this demon. What to do with this guy? Because he was so tall. Then he came that... then they released some arrows and all. Ramchandra and Lakshman. Then he just, brushed them away. Then he laughed. "Hypocrites, I don't like hypocrites. You are dressed like ascetics, but carrying a weapons, bow and arrow, swords, and then going around with a beautiful woman. I came here to, that is why I kill all these hypocrites and swallow them." Then Ramchandra was saying, my name is Virada and my fame is slaughtering. like that. So, I am blessed with the benedictions of Lord Brahma that no ordinary human being can kill me, no weapons can kill me. My strength is immeasurable, and so many fighters like you came in front of me, I simply just swallowed them. You know, saying that now it is your turn. He took his spear and then released his spear, very fast. And the spear was coming very fast. Before, in order to throw, you have to go a little bit back and then throw, to impact, dynamism. See, before he came, in the front and to settle down, he saw Ramchandra took one arrow and then he shot it so fast, that the spear broke into thousands of pieces and got embedded in the body of Virada. And then Ramchandra took another feather arrow, seven arrows, and then he released them on the body of Virada. And they pierced the body of Virada and then, pushed him back little bit. And then they came out like that. And then Virada thought, oh my God, he is no ordinary fighter. Looks like I have to be more careful. Then immediately, then Ramchandra took, Lakshmana took so many other arrows and then they released full on his body, full of arrows and all. Then when you wake up from the sleep, you feel lazy, then you get up, you do like this, right? So he became a little bit conscious because early in the morning, demons like that. So he just lifted his hand and, released. And then he yawned. Like that, His mouth was like a cave. His eyes are reddish, like inferno. And then he was laughing. And then all the arrows, all the arrows, they just, oozed out from his body just because, he was yawning like that. And then, Rama and Lakshman was wondering, this guy is no ordinary demon. What to do? So they were contemplating how to fight with this guy. So meanwhile, Virada kept Sitaji on the floor. And then, he caught hold of Rama and Lakshman, with both their hands. Then he started running. So meanwhile, Sitaji saw what is happening. Then she saw this big demon carrying Ram and Lakshman in their hands and then running. And what happened? And then she started crying. And then after some time, Rama did not, hear the cries of Sitaji. And so there is a reason, Acharya's comment, that from now onwards you will see, Rama would never kill anybody in front of Sitaji. Because she is actually universal mother. And then she is full of compassion. So if she would look upon the demon with compassion, his lifespan will increase. And then he would, the Ramchandra would lose his power, will to kill that person. So that is the reason Ram actually allowed Virada to take them away far from Sita. So that, coolly, he can kill like that. Then meanwhile, Rama signaled to Lakshman. Then immediately they took their sword. With such a great force, they cut the hands of Virada. Virada. And immediately the hands got cut, and the both of them fell from three times more palm tree. Okay. And then before Virada was wondering what happened. Then he saw, because such a huge demon and killed so many sages and all, so much flow of, it's like a river, it is flowing from the blood is flowing from his hands. Like that. And then Rama again signaled, now wondering, now what they, because he was so tall, and then Ram Lakshman, they were like this. And then he's wondering, where are they? So immediately, before he could realize, what is their next step, Rama signaled to Lakshman. And then they came with the great force, they cut the at the knees of the, and then
he became separated, and then that fellow fell with a thud. And now from the hands, from the legs, the blood was flowing. You know, it's like as if it is some river of blood is flowing, you know. So you and then Ram Lakshman, they became and drenched with the blood of this Virada. And immediately Virada, still he would not get up. He would not give up the fight. So with this strong body, he was trying to crush Ram and Lakshman and trying to get up and then falling on the Ram and Lakshman. So Ram thought, even after cutting the legs and the hands, even after the blood is so much is flowing, still this guy is not dying. So he told Lakshman, I think we should bury him alive. We should bury him alive. So he told Lakshman, you dig a pit. So when Lakshman was digging a pit, what Rama did, he took his lotus feet and kept his lotus feet on his throat and started crushing his throat, like very hard. Then initially, Virada was angry, giving galis and all, crying. After some time, Rama was observing to his amazement all those feelings of crying, anger, disquiet and all gone. And then there is a beautiful smile on his face, And then he heard that Virada, chanting some hymns and mantras and all. And then Rama was shocked to see the, difference, this change in behavior, like that. Then Virada opened his eyes, said, I think you are my Lord Ramchandra. You are my Lord Ramchandra. I think that must be Lakshmana. That must be Janaki. Then Ramchandra was surprised. Oh, what a change. How come, how do you know us? Then he said, actually, I am a cursed person. So very interesting, you hear this, what he is going to say. That actually, I am a Gandharva. My name is Tumburu. I gave more priority to fun than my duties. I gave more importance to thrill than my fulfilling my universal responsibility. So being a very good singer and a handsome person, surrounded by so many beautiful women, and being a very intimate servant of my master Kuvera, I am very proud. One day, and then I was always thinking, I should enjoy more and more beautiful women, like that. So one day, Kuvera was performing some yajna, so he told me to run some errands, to fetch something in the forest. When I went there, I saw this beautiful celestial beauty, Ramba. So being attracted by her beauty, I just started gazing at her, staring at her, and planning to enjoy with her. Then immediately after, it became very late. When Kuvera understood, that my proclivity to give more importance to fun than duty, he cursed me that because you hate discipline, that means you hate laws of God. Right? Very important. So disciple means discipline. Right? Disciple means discipline. So we all should be very careful, when we become overcome by distractions, right? Then we'll become interested in more and more sense enjoyment, and will become a demon like Virada. So then Kuvera cursed me, saying that you also, now you become a demon. Who is, because these demons are averse to follow the laws of God. So you will become this, this is what you want, to enjoy more. So you become a demon and become completely averse to God and His laws. Right? Prabhupada defines a sadhu, what is it, you know, in the 16th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Sadhu means one who follows the scriptures. Demon means one who doesn't follow the scriptures. So scriptures means laws of God. So if you are averse to laws of God, that's what Krishna says in 3rd chapter Bhagavad Gita also. You know, one should not be envious of my instructions. Yatva etad abhyasuya kaha. You know, like that. Sometimes we are unable to follow the instructions of Krishna, but we should not be envious of instructions of Krishna, that why He gave such strict instructions. Prabhupada writes in 7th Canto Bhagavatam that these demons, they think that Krishna's order to completely surrender, they think it's too much, too much. Why we have to surrender completely? But Prabhupada says, it is for our own good. So they are very angry with Krishna that He is demanding, complete surrender. Prabhupada, Naivatmana Prabhurayam Nijalabha Purnu, that verse is there, 7th Canto, 9th chapter. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, but whatever laws are there, it is for our own purification, it is our own good, so that we can go back to Godhead. But then Virada fell at the feet of Kubera, begged him. Then he said, don't worry. Okay, then when Lord Rama comes and buries you alive, then you will become free from the curse. So Virada, the meaning of Virada means without love. Virada, without love. So he has no love for Krishna and his laws. Rama and his laws. That is why he had to face this curse. But when Ramchandra pressed his lotus feet on his throat, so all the aversion, all the aversion for laws of God went away. All the aversion for Krishna, Rama went away, and then it replaced with love. By the touch of his the lotus feet of Ramchandra. Then after some time, when they buried him alive, then from that pit, very beautiful personality came. Then he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra and then offered obeisances and said, my dear Lord, I am very thankful to you. By the touch of your lotus feet, I have regained my composure and again the willingness to follow your laws. Then as a gratitude, I want to do some service. If you walk some 1.5 yojanas from here, you will find Sarvanga Muni's ashram. You please go there, he will guide you further. Like that. So Rama, Lakshman and Sita, they took leave of him and then they started walking. Then after 1.5 yojanas means 12 miles. After walking for some time, Sita ji, was walking and frolicking and all. And then suddenly Ramchandra alerted her. Sita, wait. I am seeing something. When he saw, there was a beautiful effulgence coming from there, nearby. And they saw a very beautiful chariot, which is actually standing above a few feet from the earth. And there is one whitish elephant, tied nearby tree. And there are so many beautiful effulgent servants. They were they were waiting around there. And then there is a beautiful hermitage. Then Ramchandra told to Lakshman and Sita that I think this must be Sarvanga Muni's ashram. And I think it looks like Indra has come to take him as a result of his austerities to Indraloka, to higher planets. So you both of you wait here, then I will go and check. So when Ramchandra entered the Sarvanga Muni's ashram, the thousand-eyed Sahasraksha Indra, he looked at Lord Ramchandra, but he pretended as if he did not look at him. And then he was hesitant whether to wish him or not, offer him obeisance or not, but still he decided not to wish him at all. he left, behaving as if he did not see Ram. And then he sat there and then went away. So Ramchandra asked, so there is a secret for this. Acharya has explained that after signing a non-disclosure agreement, suppose if Indra offers obeisances, because he is Devendra, king of demigods, if he offers obeisances to an ordinary person, then immediately people will conclude that why would Indra offer obeisances to an ordinary person? So this is not some ordinary person, he must be Lord Vishnu. Right? So then all these Gudacharis of Ravana, Karadushana and all, they were always hovering around in the forest. When they come to know this exchange of Indra offering obeisances to Ram, they will immediately alert all the demons that Vishnu has appeared. Then they will become careful. So that is why he acted as if he didn't see, like that. Then Lord Ramchandra asked Sarvanga Muni that, is that Indra? Yes, Sarvanga Muni, as soon as he saw Lord Ram, that I think you must be Lord Ram. Then he immediately offered obeisances. Then he said, yes, he came to take me to Brahmaloka. That chariot is meant for me to go to Brahmaloka, but I refused. Because my intuition told me that today you are going to come. Because my spiritual master told me that one day you will have darshan of Lord Ram. You just wait. So that is why I have been waiting for many thousands of years. Thousands of years for your appearance. But today I have felt that you are going to come today. My intuition has told, indicated. So that is why I refused, telling him that I don't want to go to these temporary places. I want to go to a place, Yadgatvan Nivartante, Tadama Paramamama, where if you go there, I don't have to come back. Now, my dear Lord Ram, my life has become successful, like that. And then meanwhile, Lakshman and Sita also, they have joined Ram. And then they also offered obeisances. Then Sarvanga Muni, he explained that by your coming, my life has become successful. And I have performed so many austerities and penances. Then I have got a huge credit of piety. My dear Ram, I am actually giving in charity to that all of you. And I need a small grace of you. That's it. Lord Rama smiled and told Sarvanga Muni that I don't want your charity. I don't want your charity. Because being a Kshatriya, we are not supposed to receive any charity. So, you just let me know where we can live peacefully. We want a dwelling. Like that. So, Sarvanga Muni understood that Rama was upset, little bit upset. He understood that he was little bit proud that he has accumulated so much, piety by his own, and then he wanted to give it to somebody. Like that. He understood that you don't become a donor unless somebody takes donation from you. Right? Like that. So, then immediately he understood his folly. Then he took his lotus hands of Rama and then made him sit. Then he spoke and spoke and spoke. Whole night he spoke. The whatever knowledge he has acquired, he gave it to Ramchandra. Then he was very greatly satisfied. Then he said, my dear Lord, the just few hours of spending with you and seeing your lotus face gave me so much happiness that all these thousands of years of austerity that which did not give me. Like I was reading yesterday Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada quotes one verse that the happiness of merging into Brahman, and then happiness of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you compare, then happiness of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is 1000 trillion times more than merging with Brahman. So much happiness is there, right? So that is why it is said, a person who is cleaning the Radharasvari temple, grooming the temple, he gets much more happiness, millions of times more happiness than Sachipati Indra, sitting in the Indraloka. That was the good fortune of all of us, So we should not, you know, hesitate to. The greatest service in Padma Purana is mentioned that for serving the Lord is cleaning his temple. You know that? Previously we used to have schedule, you know. Once in a week, each department we used to clean the temple. Then Dasarathu was the president. After that, now workers, after that new bhaktas were cleaning the temple. Now that I think workers are cleaning, right? Like that. So that was the greatest service one can do, is cleaning the Radha Aswari temple. Right? Other day I was saying in the class, I don't know whether you are all here. So in Garuda Purana it is mentioned that a person who has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas will get a job as a sweeper in Radha Hare Krishna Mandir. He refused to become a Indra, and then rather he agreed to become a sweeper in Radha Rasvihari temple. So that was a good fortune. Just imagine our good fortune, you know, without employment we are serving Radha Rasvihari. You know, so only fortunate souls can come to Hare Krishna movement like that. That is the level of our good fortune. But Prabhupada said, "I have created your good fortune." Right? So all we are should be grateful to Prabhupada for making these temples and allowing us to serve prasadam to devotees, you know, like that. Then Sarvanga Rishi said, "Now my life has become perfect. Please allow me to leave this stupid body, you know, like that, a temporary body." And then he sat in yogic trance. Then he created a fire. Within a minute, you know, the fire, yogic fire, engulfed the body of Sarvanga Rishi, then burnt him into just like that, and then even ashes have also not remained. Bones have not remained. You know? And then the refulgent soul came up and then went back to God. And then Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they were amazed. So from this, there is one more thing. From the sages in Chitrakoot, in the Dandakaranya forest, Viradha, Sarvanga Rishi, they all were grateful to Rama, but they did not tell, please stay in my... Sarvanga Rishi had a very beautiful hermitage. He did not tell, stay in my hut, I am giving it to you. Because Acharya's comment, because all of them, they didn't want Ramchandra to settle down, somewhere in Dandakaranya forest, because they were actually... guiding him to, then he said, Sarvanga Rishi, before that he said, before I leave my body, go and meet Satikshana. He is a disciple of Agastya Muni. Yeah? Agastya Muni, you go and meet him. He will actually guide you where you can have your dwelling, beautiful place where you can spend rest of your time, like that. So like that, Sarvanga Rishi left his body. So this is the... this is the reason. Why? Because they all want... they didn't want Ramchandra to settle down somewhere in the Dandakaranya forest. They wanted him to go to Janasthan. So when they finally... when he would meet Agastya Muni, Agastya Muni will tell, go to Panchavati. Right? So then Satikshana Muni... he explained, then the Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they were moving forward. So one day, I will explain, 5 minutes more is there. Very nice pastime. That Sita ji, she was actually was wonderstruck that there is a fountain of water, you know, that is coming out from the earth. And then she was amazed at the superhuman abilities of Ram and Lakshman. You know, Sita ji, she was very happy that, you know, they were consigned to the forest, because she was getting more and more time to intimately spend time with Ram and then explore all the beauties of the forest. You know, she was very young, 25 years old, but she was like a child, frolicking. You know, she would always, hours together, she would run behind the butterflies, you know, and try to catch them. And then she became so expert that she started understanding the language of the insects. And then she learned the nature, she studied in the University of Nature. That she became so expert that without, she could remove the honey from the honeycombs without disturbing the honeybees. And then she could take out the milk, milk the from tigress after she finished giving milk to her cub. Because our human needs, more than physical, it is the mental needs, which are like, black hole. It can never be filled up. But the physical needs, once the physical needs of the animals are met, they don't have any mental needs. That's why they are ready to share. But human beings are not like that. Then Sitaji became very expert in the bears have become her spiritual master in guiding her how to recognize where the very sweet fruits are there, succulent fruits are available. Then she taught, the bears taught her how to where tubulars, very succulent tubulars to pluck out from the earth. And then from the fish and from the pattern of the migratory birds, she could understand the seasonal changes and immediately make arrangements. And then by following the elephants, elephants have a unique ability to recognize where the water is available when there is a drought. When there is a drought. So by following the elephants, she could find out where the water bodies are there. And then she made a dried up pumpkin and made a... She used to store water in those pumpkins. in those pumpkins. And then she would, like that, she would always be thankful that, that she is with Rama, that they were into forest, like that. So when there is no when there is no water available because of the drought and all, then she would go to Rama and Lakshman. Now today there is no water. Oh, no water, no problem. Ram, Lakshman, they would release the arrows. And then, fountain will come and Sitaji would play in the fountain. like that. So, like that they were walking and then Ram, he was always walking ahead. Walking ahead. And then Sitaji was behind him. She would never observe in the 11 years of, walking in the forest that his shoulders could never droop with tiredness or, defeat. And the sunshine was hitting the back of, on his back. And his back became little blackish, because resplendent sun. Then Lakshmanji was behind Sitaji. And then he would never look above her feet, above her lotus feet. And then his heart would wince every time Sitaji would, step on some thorns or pointed stones, and then her soft lotus feet, they experience so much pain, like that. But Sitaji was very careful. Then he was very grateful to Sitaji, that she would never step on the footprints of Lord Ramchandra. For her, the pain of disrespecting the footprints of Lord Ramchandra, he is much more than the pain of piercing the stones and the thorns and all, like that. And then she would always keep the lotus feet of Ramchandra to her left. And Lakshman also would not step his feet on either of the footprints of Mother Sita or Ram. He would keep the both of their feet to his left. So our heart is on the left side. So Sitaji, by keeping Ram to her left, she is keeping Ram very close to her heart. And then Lakshman, by keeping Sita and Ram close to his heart. Like that. So it's a very beautiful explanation. Then they met Sutikshana, then he took to Agastya Muni. And he's a great sage, super sage, one of the seven sages. Then he took Agastya Muni. He brought palm leaves, a bunch of palm leaves, bunch of palm leaves. Then he said, he showed it to Ram. said, Lord Shiva, because during Lord Shiva's marriage to Parvati, all the people from everywhere, they went to North India. So because of that, there was an imbalance. Then Lord Shiva requested Vishwavas and Agastya Muni to go and live in the south to balance the earth. Otherwise, you know, it is floating like that. So that is why, then he said, he wanted me to create a new culture. Then Agastya Muni, he made Tamil language. You know, Prabhupada, Rasaru said once that in Kailash, they speak Tamil language. So this Tamil culture, Tamil language is one of the oldest, you know, coming from Agastya Muni's time, Treta Yuga, before, even before that. So because Rama is the creator, and then a new creation should be offered to the creator first. So that is why Agastya Muni offered this, Tamil language to Lord Ramchandra. And Lord Ramchandra, with a smiling face, he read all Tamil language, then he approved it. He said, okay. Then he took it back. Then Agastya Muni gave three very gifts, beautiful gifts. One was, he gave a sword, very impregnable, undefeatable sword, which can be used only by ambidextrous person. That means one who can use both the hands. And then he gave another dhanush, Vishnu dhanush, which is empowered with the Sudarshan chakra. And then he gave a quiver, full of arrows, which will never be exhausted. And then he took out one arrow. Then this is a very special arrow. You use this arrow for killing, big demons. I think that arrow only was used by Lord Ram to kill Ravanasura. And then this quiver is a very special astra, that as soon as it pierces the heart of your enemy, it will go near the nearby ocean, cleans itself, and then comes back and stays in the quiver. So Ramchandra, then he said, go and stay in Panchavati, his remaining 3 years. It's a very beautiful place, surrounded by a lake and a beautiful Godavari river, always, flowing. And be careful of these birds, animals, and so many different kinds of people. Some people, they may behave they may behave like friends, but they may be your enemies. So watch out. Like that. So Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they took leave, and then they walked towards Panchavati, and they built a beautiful ashram. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? Okay. Randraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.